I can think of a few people who need to hear that song this morning. I'm glad you're here. I'm excited. I don't know if you understand it, but I'm just, every once in a while I get in this, like, I don't know what it is. This is a mode of anticipation or excitement. I just feel like Jesus is coming soon, and I have this urgency in me to tell people about him. And lately, I've been sharing my testimony. I'm going to tell a little story in a little while about that. And let me just encourage you. Share your testimony. You came to Jesus somehow. Share that with somebody. Whatever that is, because God will anoint that and God will use that to save souls. You know, for years and years and years, I had this testimony of how I got saved and the whole story, and I didn't know how to communicate it, and I didn't know how to tell it, and I didn't. But lately, I've just been telling it, like, everywhere. I tell people that are saved, I tell people that are unsaved, you know, and it's just, and they love the part when they, you know, most of you know my story. And when I get to that part where I sit and I married the girl and I've been with her for 32 years, you know, they all love that part, and it's just awesome. But let me encourage you, share your testimony. If you know Jesus Christ, you came to him somehow. He drew you. He poured his life into you, his love into you, his forgiveness and his mercy into you. And somebody needs to hear that. You know, your closest friends, they're drawn to you for some reason. Think about that for a moment. Why do we have a relationship with certain people? Why is that? Well, there's something in you that they see that they like and they enjoy and they want to have time with you and spend, you know, fellowship with you and all those things. Well, you know, there's something greater than just you inside of you. You need to share that with them. That's Jesus. And so just let me encourage you to do that. I'm just really excited about. I don't know. I'm really excited. I just feel like we can just win them all. Amen. Do we have children's church this morning? You're supposed to do it with someone else? Children, you ready to go downstairs? Is there someone else that's going to go with Mac? Okay. That'd be wonderful. Do the girls in the back have something they want to share? They've been holding up something all morning. What are you showing us there? Here, bring it right up here and show everybody. Bring it right up here. Can you bring it right up here? Yeah, she's definitely not shy. Let me see what you have. Oh, bless God. We love God. So turn around and show that. Hold it up real high. Just like all worship service. They have been holding these up the whole worship service. I'm like, what is that? Praise the Lord. Thank you, girls. You can go downstairs and you share with the other kids how blessed God is. That's awesome. Train them up in the way they should go. And when they're old, they won't depart from it, right? I'd like to welcome our visitors this morning. God bless you all. I trust that, you know, God brought you here for a reason. And I trust that he's going to fulfill his purpose in you today. If this is the first time that you've ever been in this church, I hope that you feel God's presence in it already. And I hope that you leave this place different than the way you came in. And it doesn't matter if you're here for the first time or if you're here, you've been here every service for the last 50 years. My prayer is always, God, don't leave us in the condition we are when we come in. Change us. Do something in my heart. Change my life. That's a prayer that I pray often. I want him to have such an impact in our lives that when we leave this place, we're no longer the same. Anybody else want that? Amen. By the way, brother, good to see you again. I haven't seen you in a long time. Revelation chapter 3. Verses 14 through 22. I don't have a lot of notes today. Actually, really, the only thing that's on my heart is to share you this story, but there's a verse in here that goes along with the story I want to share with you, but there's, as I got reading this, and the Lord just kind of stirred my heart a little bit to speak on this passage of Scripture a little. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, this is the story of the lukewarm church. If you're familiar with the book of Revelation, you know that there's seven churches that God spoke to, and he specifically gave them, you know, he called them out on their issues, but then he also gave them instruction. This is the last church that is mentioned. It's the lukewarm church. And I'm a little bit excited. As I was reading through this passage of Scripture, I was getting excited because we don't know exactly when things are going to happen. But sometimes in the Bible, many times, things are in kind of chronological order and timely order. Some things are not, but some things are. And I'm curious with the book of Revelation if it's actually a timeline of the future events and when they're going to happen. And the lukewarm church is the last church that is spoken to. And if that's us, then perhaps the next thing that's going to take place is the rapture of the church and the tribulation period start. And so I got a little bit excited about that as I'm reading it, even though I was a little bit, you know, concerned about the state of the church and the lukewarmness of it. And so let's read this passage for a moment. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things I say, the Amen. These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you how powerful and true it is. And Lord, I pray that you will pierce our hearts this morning, draw us closer to you. Have your way, Lord, not just in me, but here in this church, in every individual who makes up this body of Christ here today. Bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there's a few things that I want to share with you about this portion of Scripture. And we'll start where it says in verse 15. Well, actually, we can back up. Verse 14, the angel of the church of the Lord, Laodiceans, write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. First thing I want you to understand about Jesus Christ, he is faithful and he is true. You can count on him. You know that song that Kylie just sang? That was a beautiful song. Thank you for that. Who put the stars in place? Who created everything? It says right there, he who is faithful and true, the beginning of the creation of God. Jesus Christ, you can count on him. You can trust him. See, these are a couple of things. I'm always talking to people who have issues in their life and they're angry with God and they're mad because this happened or they're not going to follow God because they didn't get what they want or all these kinds of things. But we have to understand God is faithful and God is true. He is trustworthy and we can count on him. And when we lose something or we don't have something that we think that we should have, we need to just trust him. And we need to understand that he will not allow us to fail if we continue to walk with him. If we continue to walk with him. That's very important. But he's faithful. And even when we fail, he's still faithful, isn't he? Because he'll wait there. He'll keep calling our name. He'll keep drawing us. It doesn't matter how many times you fall down, you can get right back up and he's right there waiting for you. Because he is faithful and he is true. Now in 15 it says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. Now, you know, I've often wondered about this. You're neither cold nor hot. And then he says, I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Now, being cold or hot, I got a buzz I got to get rid of up here. I think it's this. Nope, that wasn't it. I don't know what it is, but it's driving me crazy. It says, I would wish that you were either cold or hot. Now, I would understand why God would say, I would wish that you were hot, right? We can understand that. Because, you know, we have, in me anyway, I don't know what you think about the cold or hot, what that's about. But the hot, to me, is somebody who's on fire for Jesus Christ. Somebody who's living right. Somebody who's out there proclaiming the gospel. Somebody who's out there praying over people. Doing the work of the kingdom of God. That's somebody that's hot. That's a church that's hot. I thank God that this church is getting hotter. We have people serving at Salvation Army. We have people serving at the Pregnancy Care Center. We have people serving at the lunch program downtown. We have people serving in the jail. We have become doers of the word. I believe that we have become a hot church. And I was thinking about it for a while that, you know, there was a season where we were neither hot nor cold, where we were just kind of existing. You know, we had what we needed, and we came, and we went through the motions of church. But, you know, God has brought us through that. And now I thank God. I believe we're a hot church, and we're getting hotter. You know, we've signed on for this Family Promise program where we're going to be taking in some homeless people and giving them a safe place throughout the year and different things like that. It's a beautiful thing. So we can understand, at least I can understand, that's how I kind of understand why God would want us to be hot. But why would he rather that we be cold? Well, the only way I can understand that is if somebody's cold, then they haven't yet been touched by the gospel. They haven't yet come to an understanding of who Jesus is. And so there's somebody that can be reached. There's somebody who, when you come along and you share the gospel with them and they hear it for the first time, they have the opportunity to grab it and run with it or deny it and run away from it, whichever they choose. But there's somebody who's reachable there. There's somebody who's teachable there. So God would rather we be a hot church or a hot one that is out there doing what he wants us to do, or a cold one, somebody who is capable of grabbing hold for the first time and running with it. But when you're lukewarm, you're somebody who knows the truth, but you're not doing anything about it. That's not a good thing. You know the gospel. You know what you're supposed to be doing. You know who you're supposed to be worshiping. You know how you're supposed to be living. But you're just not doing it. That's somebody who's lukewarm, I believe. And Jesus says, you know, in the end, they're going to come along and say, well, didn't we do all these things in your name? We showed up to church every Sunday, and we did this, and we did that. All these things in your name. And Jesus will say, you know what? Depart from me. I never knew you. Vomit right out of the mouth. That's a word I don't like to have to say in church. Vomit. Ugh. But that just goes to show you how, you know, Jesus is telling us here how important it is that we don't just be lukewarm. Lukewarm is not a good thing. And so he says, because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you. Now, first of all, we need to recognize what state we're in. And this is something that I hope that we never actually feel, okay, we're finally there. We're finally, you know, we've got everything we need. We're wealthy. We've got, you know, we're clothed. There's nothing that we have need of. I kind of hope we never get there. Because when you get there, you feel complacent. You think, all right, we're good. Yes. I finally made it. I'm somebody. And the truth of it is, when we get to that place where we feel like, oh, we finally made it, chances are we don't understand, we don't know that we're naked, blind, and wretched, and poor. But what he says here in verse 18, he says, I counsel you now. I counsel you. I love those three words. I counsel you. Who's counseling? Jesus is counseling. Who is he counseling? Me and you. Are we listening? If you go to the end of the passage when he says, to him who overcomes, oh, where did I go? Lost my verse. Down the last page, next page. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. He who has an ear, let him hear. This is something that I've been tapping into a lot lately. The idea that we hear his voice, but we don't always respond to it, do we? And I've called out a lot of people. I love doing this because I know it's true. I keep calling out people who aren't, you know, who I'm witnessing to and explaining to them, you know his voice. Those of you who've been around here, you've heard me say this. You know his voice because he speaks to us each and every day, but you just haven't been listening. And the sad truth of it is not only do those who haven't come to the Lord yet not listen to his voice, but so do we sometimes. We know his voice, and we know when he's speaking to us. And when we turn in a direction he doesn't want us to go, he says, don't go there. And when we hear him and we move in the direction he wants us to go, it's wonderful, isn't it? I had an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody yesterday. I am so excited. My wife's trying to calm me down. She's like, but you got to hear his voice. You got to listen to it. You got to pay attention to it. You have an ear to hear. Where is that ear to hear? It's on your heart. You know, we think ear, oh, it's on my head. No, the ear you need to hear Jesus from is in your heart. Listen to what he says. I counsel you. I got to find my place again. Thank you. Verse 18. I counsel you. Somebody's paying attention. Thank you, Jesus. To buy for me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. That when I read that, it just took me all the way back to Genesis. That the shame of your nakedness would not be revealed. Took me all the way back to Genesis because I'm thinking, okay, God, what is this gold you want us to buy? How do we purchase it? And where do we get these white raiments? What's that all about? But then when he says that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, it took me back to Genesis where Adam and Eve sinned. First thing they did was they hid themselves. They realized that they were naked and they hid themselves and they took fig leaves or whatever it was and they tried to cover their nakedness. And most of the time, you know, when we're not walking with the Lord and we're not doing what God wants us to do, there's a little shame that goes along with that. And we know that. And we try to hide ourselves. And so the gold that is refined by the fire and the white garments that he wants us to put on, those are things that you only get from him. And if you want to, you know, you wonder, well, how do I get this gold? Well, you know, Jesus told the poor rich guy, or not the poor rich guy, the rich, rich guy. He said, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. And the Bible says that where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. There your treasure is also, right? And so if you want gold refined in the fire, just like we sang a song earlier about denying ourselves and saving the lost. I already have a portion of scripture picked out to preach on Christmas morning, talking about Jesus becoming poor so that you may be rich. You know, Paul uses him as an example of how we should be givers of whatever God has given us, that we should be givers, giving out of what we have in order that we might become rich, that others would become rich, but we become actually rich. So the gold that he wants us to buy comes from heaven, and we get it. We get it through the things that we do, the right things that we do. You know, when we serve the Lord in all of these programs that I mentioned earlier, when we deny ourselves and we lay down our own stuff and we go out and we do it for somebody else, that's how you buy gold. Who are you living for? If you're living for yourself or if you're living for Jesus, there's a difference there. If you're living for yourself, you're not going to go out and win souls. If you're living for Jesus, you're going to win souls. I talked to a brother earlier this week that was struggling at work in these different relationships that he was having and all this stuff, and it was hindering his walk with Christ. And I said, "Brother, why are you going to work?" "Well, I got to go to work in order to earn a paycheck and able to pay my bills and to be able to cover all my stuff." And I said, "Listen, you're going to work for the wrong reason. Is there anybody else here going to work because you need money in order to pay your bills and cover your stuff and all that? Because if that's why you're doing it, you're going to work for the wrong reason. The Bible says that God will take care of your needs. You don't have to go to work to take care of your needs." Some of you are looking at it like, "What are you talking about?" And I'm not advocating stay home and sit on the couch. No, go to work. But go to work for the right reason. If you know, how many struggle with relationships at work? Several. Let me help you out with those relationships, okay? Understand the only reason why you're going to that workplace is to win them for Jesus. That's the only reason. God gave you that job so that you would be in that place of influence to be a shining light for Jesus Christ. If you're going there to win a paycheck and that's the only reason you're going there for, you're going to struggle. It's going to be difficult. But if you go there for the right reason, let me tell you something, I believe God will bless you. I worked at a lot of construction companies, and Billy can tell you. When I first started back at my last place that I worked, there were some guys that hated me. Yeah, they did not like me. But my goal is to win them. And you know what? Some of the guys that hated me the most today love me the best. I love them guys, and they love me. And I'm not saying that I won them all to the Lord, but they came to a place of respect. The reason why I was there wasn't just to earn a paycheck. And I told them that. There was times, because they would complain, there's all these different pay scales. If you work at the shop, you get paid dirt. And if you work out in a job, you get paid big money. And so when you're in the shop working, making dirt, they're complaining and whining. I'm like, "You know what? I'm not here for the paycheck. What are you talking about? Well, I don't work for this company. What are you talking about? I work for Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter what I get paid by this company. I'm working for Jesus, and I know that he will give me gold that's refined in the fire." And so when you go to your workplace, don't go there just for the paycheck. And understand those difficult relationships you have, pray for those people. Pray for them. You know, most of the times when we have conflict with work, people, you don't want to pray for them, do you? You like to grab them by the throat and turn them into the boss and all this, and slap them around a little bit. Yeah, no, pray for them and win them. Let them know why you're there. "I am here because I'm a believer in Jesus Christ and I want to share his love with you. That's why I'm here." Go win them. And so that's how you get the gold refined in the fire and the garments that are white. And guess what? That white garment, that's a wedding gown. That's wedding garment. There's other portions of scriptures that talk about wedding garments. We understand, you know, as I'm getting excited about the days that we're in, believing that Jesus is coming soon, realizing that the bride, the church, is being prepared for the groom, Jesus. And there's going to be a wedding feast in heaven, and that's going to be a wonderful thing. But we need to have those wedding garments on. We don't want to be lukewarm. If you're lukewarm, guess what? You're not wearing the right clothes. We want to be hot. You know, as I mentioned in worship, my desire, my hope is that God will so inspire each and every one of us that by the time we leave this building, we can't wait to go tell somebody about Jesus. I hope that's you. I know what I'm ready and willing to do. I'll make a fool of myself, won't I, babe? Sure. Do not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go out there and spread the word. Be hot for Jesus. Can you imagine? And this is talking to a church. Can you imagine a church that is hot for Jesus? Where each and every part of the body is out there reaching lost souls, touching somebody with the love of God. Who are the people that are around you? Who are the people that God has put around you? Build relationship with them and tell them about Jesus. But Pastor, you don't understand. They hate me. That's all right. Just love them. It doesn't matter. If they hate you, that's who they are. But if you love them, that's who you are. And guess what? There's not too many people that don't respond to love. You understand it? My wife and I, we've been talking recently. I'm not sure if I'm going to preach it or if she is. It was her idea. I love it, though. It was great. We're gonna talk about the love languages again pretty soon. The Lord's just been... That's why I'm wondering if she needs to preach it, because the Lord's been giving her verses. Boom! This is Jesus. This is where his quality time is right here, and this is where his physical touch is right here, and this is where his gifts are right here, and all this stuff. And it's like, wow, that's really good. We got to do that. But you be Jesus. Learn the love languages. If you don't know what I'm talking about, there's 5 love languages, and you need to know how to speak them because there are different people that you're going to run into, and different things matter to those people. And if you can learn somebody's love language and speak it, you'll have a greater opportunity of influence in their life. Whew. Did you hear that little feedback? Love it. Whenever I hear that, it's like an angel just woo, just went through the roof. He says, I counsel you, buy for me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Now, how many times have we felt like, man, God, you are really dumping on me today? Well, as many as I love, I chasten. If we get off track a little bit, he's going to let us know, right? Anybody here who's a daddy or even a mommy? When the kids get off a little bit, what do? You come down on them, right? Say, hey, that's not happening here. There's another way I want you to do that. And it says, be zealous and repent. How many are zealous to repent? Zealous to repent. What's that mean? It means when you realize, when God slaps you up the side of the head, and you realize, oh boy, I've gone off the rail, get on your knees and repent right there. Spoke to a woman yesterday. I said, do you understand what salvation is? I was asked to go pray for somebody who's dying of pancreatic cancer. You wouldn't know it. The doctors gave her a couple of weeks a few months ago. And she's doing, I thought she looked pretty good. And I'm praying that God will do a miracle in her body. I'm praying that he does. He did a miracle for her son. And I'm hoping someday he'll come and share that story with us. He was completely healed of a blood disease that people don't get healed of. And it's just a miracle. And I'm praying that God will do a miracle in this woman's life. But anyway, you know, I asked her, do you understand what, you know, I went over to pray for her. They wanted me to come and pray for her. But I'm like, before I say anything, I want to know, do you understand what salvation is about? Because I can pray for you all day long, but if you still die and go to hell, what good is that, right? And so I asked, do you understand what salvation is about? And she said to me, I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins every day. I said, well, I think you got it. I think you understand. There's somebody who's zealous to repent. Somebody who knows that how the importance of living right, and when you get off just a little bit, come back to God and repent. We need to live lives of repentance. Did anybody mess up last week? Yeah. Come on, I know I'm not the only one. Oh, okay, thank you. Anybody mess up yesterday? We don't want to confess. Yeah. See, we're not zealous yet. That's the problem. We need, yes, Pastor, I screwed up this morning. Be zealous to repent. Lord, forgive me. You know, when you're zealous to repent, you're somebody who's humble. And God loves a humble heart. You know that? Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Now, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, verse 20. Oh, here. Almost forgot. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. This is really the verse I wanted to talk about this morning. I had an opportunity, an old classmate, somebody I went to school with, who went down a road of destruction. Homelessness, drug addiction. Even shared with me yesterday that recently have been having dreams of using, smoking cocaine and getting high in her dream. And she's afraid because the temptation to go out and do that now is really strong. And she told me, the word she used was, I meditate on this. You know, it's what I think about all the time, and I'm afraid. I don't want to fall again. But she called me up. She wanted me to pray for her mama. I walk in the door. I said, why did you call me? Well, because I know you and I trust you. And this is somebody who's been stalking me on Facebook. I see a lot of the things that, you know, a lot of the posts I write and things that I share and I see her name come up on the likes and a lot of things. I'm thinking, huh, that's interesting. And so I had this opportunity, and I go to their house, and I walk in, and here's somebody. And before I got there, earlier in the day, I noticed, I go on Facebook, I look, and she posts on there, my friend Dale Andrews is coming over to pray for me and my mom. And I'm like, here's somebody that's hungry. Here's somebody that doesn't want to be cold, doesn't want to be lukewarm. Here's somebody that wants Jesus. She didn't have Jesus. And so I walk in there, and I start sharing salvation. I shared my testimony, how I got saved. And her mama are just like, every word. I pull out the Bible and I'm sharing scriptures with them, and they're telling me different things in her life, and we're just talking about Jesus. And the mom is like, she's already saved. I mean, you know, like I said, well, do you understand salvation? Well, I ask Jesus to forgive me every day. And so, I go through, you know, the Romans road of salvation and the scriptures, and I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, and all those things. And by the end of our conversation, this girl here, I said, you sound like you want what I have. I really do. You understand that you were born a sinner? Yes, I do. You understand that there's a penalty for that sin and it's death? Yes, I do. And I had already shared with, you know, about the, you know, the blood sacrifice and how, you know, somebody has to die in order to pay for our sins, and how in the Old Testament, you know, they used to be able to transfer their sin onto animals, and you know, every year, and the animal would be killed instead of them, and their sins would be forgiven through the death of that animal, because the wages of sin is death. But Jesus came that we could transfer, all of us could transfer our sins on Him. He took on Himself all of our sin. And He died for us. His blood was shed for you. Do you understand that? She says, yes, I do. I said, well, then the only thing you need to do is just ask Him to forgive you of your sins and choose to follow Him. Will you do that? Yes, I will. And I led her in a prayer of salvation. God, forgive me of my sin. And I choose to follow You, Jesus, and accept You as the Lord of my life. And she prayed every word. And when we were done, she says, okay, now I want you to do that with my mom. I said, I'm pretty sure she's already done it. And so I said, Mom, have you done that? She goes, yes, I have. And so here I am so excited because the Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. God was knocking on this girl's heart, and there are people in your lives that he's knocking on the door. He's knocking. And it says, if anyone hears my voice, doesn't matter who, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. What I said to these beautiful women yesterday, one who just received Jesus, one who had been secretly following him in her heart, I said, you know, before the end of the day, I want you to be praying. And I shared with this girl who was meditating on, you know, all these drug things and thinking about, you know, thinking about all day long and having these dreams. I said, this is, and I showed her, you know, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, you know, how you meditate on the book of the law day and night so that God will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. I said, the problem is you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, what it says in Romans 12, 2. What are you meditating on? The thing you meditate on is the thing you're going to do. She goes, you're right. I said, I want you to read this book. And I showed her where to start. I said, you get in here and you read and you meditate. And when you read something that sparks in your heart, you ask God, God, what's that mean? What are you saying to me? When you read something you don't understand, say, God, I need to understand this. But meditate on this day and night. And I'll guarantee, I love giving God guarantees. God guarantees. He guarantees, I guarantee that if you do what this book says, you're going to turn out all right. I give you that guarantee. And I shared that with them, but I prayed with them and I said, you know what, by the end of today, I want you to be praying, meditating, and asking God to let his presence so fill you and so touch you that your life will be impacted from this day forward and you'll never turn back. Because it says there, if you will open the door, I will come in and I will dine with. Let me tell you something. There's nothing greater than the presence of God in your life. There's nothing greater. And so we need to be people who will dine with Jesus, who will sit down and eat with him and fellowship with him. You know, there's something about sitting down and eating with somebody. You know, Troy can testify. You know, every Tuesday we go to breakfast with these I have a few names for them all, but they're great guys. This group of, you know, vagabonds is the word I was going to say. But no, these are great guys. There's pastors involved. There's lay people involved. And you know what? Sitting down at that table, we've built some relationships that are really solid. I know that if I have, you know, something that's really, you know, just bearing on me, I know who I can call. There are men that will pray for me, that will give me counsel, that I can trust. It's important. But you know what? When you open up the door and you let Jesus in, and he comes in and he sits down and has dinner with you, and you start building a relationship with him, oh, man, I'll tell you what. Life all of a sudden changes. And it gets awesome and it gets wonderful. And you learn that his presence, you don't ever want him to leave. When you get Jesus in there, and this young lady yesterday, I like to say young lady because she's the same age as I am. When she accepted the Lord in her heart, man, my prayer for her still is, God, just so pour your presence into her life that she feels you, that she senses you, that she can see you and hear you and touch you and be so moved that those dreams that she'd been having about using cocaine would be gone. And that the only dreams that she would have would be walking with you. I'm excited this morning because I know that yesterday somebody gave their heart to Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. Let me show you one more scripture. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You start walking with Jesus and you start doing what it is he called you to do. And let me tell you something. When he shows you the path of life, you'll run down that path. And when he gives you, you know, when the fullness of joy, because of his presence in your life, it is a wonderful thing. You know, there's a lot of things in this life that I love. Love riding my motorcycle. I love the dessert that I'm going to eat later. My wife made this chocolate pudding and cake and whipped cream thing. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And it's just, I could eat the whole bowl. Certain things I love. But I can tell you this, I don't love any of them any more than yesterday when I left that house having led somebody to Jesus Christ. That's joy. Let me tell you, it gives you a fullness of joy. Maybe that's why I'm so excited this morning. Maybe, I don't know. But at your right hand, pleasures forevermore. I can't be more. I've experienced great pleasure just because I shared my testimony with somebody. And they grabbed hold of it and ran. And you know, I wanted to share that experience with you because a lot of times we share our testimony with people and it just kind of falls flat. We tell somebody about Jesus and they're like, yeah, okay, whatever, you're weird and I'm out of here. You know, those kinds of things. But pay attention to those that are hungry. God will give you some that are hungry. You know, when I noticed a while ago this girl that I knew from high school liking a couple of things, I'm like, that's interesting that she would like that, because that was pure Jesus right there. And then when I saw she asked me to come to her house to pray, I'm thinking, wow, okay, this is, dude, we're going a step deeper here. And then when I saw she wrote to the world, oh, my friend Dale Andrews is coming over to pray for me. I'm like, there's a hungry heart. There's somebody that's ready for Jesus. Pay attention to the little signs along the way, the people in your life that are getting hungry. And why will they call on you? They will call on you if they see that you are loving. That's what I try to do. Ever since we went through the love language, I've tried to learn how to love people better and how to just share things that are loving and how not to be judgmental and oh my, I mean, God has opened my eyes not to be judgmental no matter what. I got some stuff. I don't really want to share with her. I shared with the prayer group. But there's some stuff that, you know, I was in this place with these people, and all these people have this label on them. And I started digging, okay, well, what's going on in your life? Why is it this? And I learned some things. It's like, wow, no wonder you turned out the way you turned out. You know, let me tell you something, and this is a little off there. The suicide rate in this country is ridiculous. I got a cousin who just, she was just up for Thanksgiving. Her son was 29. His birthday was on Thanksgiving. Unfortunately, he killed himself last summer. I mean, are you kidding me? You don't know what people are going through. We don't know what people are going through. It's amazing that the suicide rate isn't even higher. You know, the stuff I heard the other day, it was like, I'm glad all they're doing is drugs, because it could be much worse. But we need to love people. Doesn't matter what they've done, where they're, what's, you don't know what's gone on in their lives. Just love them. And when they see, you know, the people, I asked earlier, who's struggling with people at work? And some hands went up, and I know you're struggling because I've been there. I know that. But you don't know what's going on in their life. You don't know if they're struggling in their marriage. You don't know if their children are you know, doing heroin. You don't know what it is that's going on in their life that causes them to be the type of people that they are or whatever, or why you rub, you rub hard against them or whatever the case may be. Just love them. Well, Pastor, you don't know this person. Jesus does. And he wants you to love him. That's why he sent you here. And let me tell you something. If you will love him, this is what comes. You start walking down a path that Jesus puts you on. And his presence will give you fullness of joy. And in his right hand, you have pleasures forevermore. It's It's awesome to be hot for Jesus. It really is. And so let me encourage you with that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and spirit. Love your neighbor as yourself. And you're going to see some great things happen. Think about the people in your life right now. You know, it could be overwhelming to think about. My realm of influence seems to be growing. It's people know me from left and right, and I'm like, who are they? Because I'm in so many circles. And it could get overwhelming. How am I going to save all these people? I want to save all these people, but you know what? I've learned it's important. Go after the ones that are hungry now. Every one of us, I'll almost guarantee it. I don't know this for sure, but I'm pretty sure. Oh, the Saturday Night Live thing, yeah. I'm pretty sure that each and every one of us has at least one person who's hungry for Jesus and they're waiting for you to tell them. Think about that. There's at least one person in your life that's hungry for Jesus and they're waiting for you to tell them. You get on your knees and you ask God, God, who is it? Show me who it is, set up the meeting, and give me the courage to love them with Jesus. Would you do that? Stand with me this morning. Yes. Hold on. You don't want a microphone? Okay. Go ahead, Dave. That was it. Yeah, the girl got saved. Yeah. He's so anticipating the story, he missed it. Yeah. She got saved. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate, you know what I appreciate about that? He hung on to every single word I said. Hallelujah. Wow. Hey, yes, Paul.
I went down a few words you said also. Celebrating recovery is another part of the church.
Amen. Amen. For those who didn't hear that, what Paul said was that Celebrate Recovery, the program we do here on Wednesday nights, and I encourage you, if you've never been to our Wednesday night service, please come. It starts at 7 o'clock. We're usually done by 9. There's refreshments. You know, it's a good program. What Paul said is it brought them right to the Holy Spirit. And that's what I'm so grateful to hear, because the whole point of whatever we do here isn't just to go through some motions and run a program. The whole point of what we do here is to draw you closer to Jesus Christ. And that program, the steps and all the things that goes along with that, it's all designed to bring you closer to Jesus. And that's awesome. And so I encourage you to come on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. Even if you're like, I'm good, I don't need anything, come, because your story matters to somebody who's not good, who does have a lot of need. It's important. So anyway. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for this soul that was saved yesterday. And I pray you keep her, Lord, that she would not fall to those dreams, those bad dreams that she was having, but she would turn and run straight to you, and that you would give her good dreams. You would give her godly dreams. You would give her, Lord God, your Holy Spirit. Fill her with your life and your love as she reads your word. I pray that it would pierce her heart with truth and strength, that she would not fall away, but she would remain. And God, I pray for every person in this room right now. Every one of us, God, knows somebody who's hungry for you. Show them to us, Lord. And give us the courage to speak the truth to them and to love them and to share the gospel with them, that they too would be saved. Help us, God, with the relationships that are difficult, but help us understand that we are there to be representatives of Jesus' and his love. God bless each one here this morning. As we open the doors of our hearts for you, come in and dine with us, because we want to be hot. We don't want to be cold. We don't want to be lukewarm. We want to be hot, because we want the fullness of your joy, and we want those pleasures forevermore that comes along with serving you. Lord, help us to purchase that gold that is refined with fire. Help us, Lord God, to put on those garments that are white as snow. And may our eyes be open that they would see. God bless each one here this morning. Keep your heads bowed, because we have some, I don't know everybody in this place this morning. If you are not following Jesus Christ, if He is not your Lord and Savior and you would like Him to be, I'm going to ask if you would just raise your hand real quick. Nobody's looking. I'll acknowledge. Is there anyone? Because I don't want to, I'm so excited about sharing the gospel that I don't want anyone to leave this place without receiving Jesus as their Lord, if you're willing. If there's someone that's not, hasn't asked Him to forgive of sin and hasn't, turned to Him and chosen Him to follow Him, just let me know right now and we'll pray for you. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You that here in this place there are people that love You. I thank You that here in this place, Lord God, there are people that will serve You. Lord, pour out Your Spirit on us that we could be Your hands and Your feet and Your loving voice. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Have a great afternoon. Yes, Karen.